On a Thursday, a lot of heavy stuff to get to today. You know, there was a time yesterday, Jamie, when I thought the heaviest thing we were going to talk about today was the meat tax. And we'll tell you about the meat tax later on. But when we left the show yesterday, it was at the end of having a discussion about the press conference that President Trump had following his following the midterms on Tuesday night. And then we got the news about Jeff Sessions getting fired by President Donald Trump. And then you wake up this morning and there was going to be a conversation that was going to be had about the press. And then we find out there has been another mass shooting in the United States, this time in Thousand Oaks, California. We know a little bit about the man, and we know a few things about some of the victims, and we're going to be joined by Alex Stone from ABC News. But Jamie, I was up at 5:30 this morning. I know that's after you get up, but for me, that's an hour and a half early. I laid there in bed. I picked up the phone. I looked at it on Twitter and I thought, another one. I don't even know.
So this is, again, Thousand Oaks, California, for those that are not as familiar with the details. And we actually have Alex Stone on the line now, so we'll just let him lay it out for us.
Let's bring in ABC's Alex Stone. Alex, most of us woke up this morning and thought, another one? I mean, this is Thousand Oaks, California. One ranking I saw for the city had it as the third safest city in America. What do we know right now?
Yeah, you know, and nothing ever happens here in Thousand Oaks. And this is a place that is very well to do. It's expensive to live here. There are a lot of colleges around here. We're close to Malibu. This is not a place where a lot of crime happens. It looks like what you would think of mainly Southern California, but Central and Southern California, Spanish buildings. You get off of the 101 freeway. There are little strip malls. There's a Starbucks coffee here, gas stations on the corner. And then there is the nightclub, and it is in that nightclub where this all unfolded last night. And the big question right now is motive. We know that the shooter was 28-year-old Ian David Long, that police had some interaction with him before, mainly minor stuff. And then earlier this year, he had a mental health situation where they were called, but they didn't have enough to hold him on what's called a 5150, a mental health hold in California. But it looked like he was having PTSD problems from his time in the Marines. But they don't know if that played any role in this. No indication of terrorism. The Joint Terrorism Task Force is here. The FBI is here. From the very beginning, they've been looking for some indication that if they had to go down that road. It's not going down that road. But why he carried this out, walking in and opening fire inside this bar and grill on a night when there was country line dancing going on and discounted drinks for college kids, they don't know yet. They're working on that right now. They're executing search warrants at his home.
Can you talk a little bit more about how this went down and the latest numbers on the number that were killed?
Yeah, the total number dead is at 13. That includes the gunman, and it includes the real hero here on scene, Sergeant Ron Helis. He is was a 29-year veteran of the Ventura County Sheriff's Department. He was on the phone with his wife last night at around 11:30 Pacific time. He said, "Honey, I got to go. I've got a call." He hung up. He went what's called Code 3 here in California. That's lights and sirens to the scene. He got a call of potentially shots fired inside the bar and grill. He did what law enforcement is trained to do. Now, after 1999 at Columbine, they no longer are to wait for backup, to wait for the SWAT team, to wait to have armor. You go in. It doesn't matter what lack of armor you have, what lack of weaponry you have, that you get on scene and then you go running in. He did exactly that, and he paid with his life. He made the ultimate sacrifice. He was going to retire next year. He took on the gunman, may have stopped more bloodshed by shooting at the gunman. Then there was another hero. That was a California Highway Patrol officer who arrived on scene, seeing Sergeant Helis laying there. He went in, he or she, we don't know who the officer was, into the gunfire being fired in that direction and dragged Sergeant Helis out of the line of fire, trying to save his life. Unfortunately, it was too late, but these officers, they arrived on scene and they engaged that gunman.
Talking with ABC's Alex Stone here on 98.1 KMBZ, joining us from California in Thousand Oaks, where there was a shooting at a nightclub last night on a basically right near a college campus. You mentioned there was some gunfire going on. Do we know if the gunman took his own life? Was the bullet from a police officer? Have we established that yet?
You know, initially that was a question that nobody was able to answer, and police said they didn't know, and in the urgent moments during the shooting, they didn't really care. The threat was over, and then they would investigate after the fact. They have now determined, they believe at least, based on what they see on scene, that he killed himself, that it was not a police bullet, that he committed suicide. He had a .45 caliber Glock on him. This was a handgun. This was not an AR. It was not a long gun of any kind. It was a handgun that he was able to carry all this out. He had a, what's illegal in California, but an extended magazine that would give him more than the normal amount of bullets. They don't know how full it was, so they don't know exactly how many he fired off, but they do believe that he killed himself with that Glock.
And my understanding is that the gun was legally obtained?
Yeah, he legally bought the gun in this area. How long ago isn't exactly clear at this point, but he legally bought the gun, and there was no question with that. And again, why he chose this grill and bar, totally a mystery right now. And we have to hope at some point we're going to find out, and that this won't be like Las Vegas last year, where we still don't know why Stephen Paddock carried that out. But at this early point, there is no indication of why he chose this location.
Alex, you may not know yet because the information might not be out yet, but any information about the 12 people that died other than the sergeant, of course?
No, there'd be 11 others, and then the gunman makes 13 and with the sergeant. But with the 11 others, no. In fact, family members are desperately trying to find out right now. They have been showing up here all day on the scene, even though there's a family reunification center, just asking for some information. But the coroner has to ID everybody. It's going to take some time. The sheriff is telling them they can call a phone number because he desperately wants them to get that answer. You can imagine that we're now 8 hours into this. This is still a very raw scene. This didn't happen that long ago. But there are family members who have been calling their loved ones, they've been texting them, and nobody's been answering. And it's becoming more and more likely that if they're not getting an answer, that they may be one of the victims inside. You know, these scenes, and we don't know about this one, but these scenes, always very eerie. Police tell us that as you walk around in the hours after, they can't touch the bodies, but the phones will be going off, will be ringing, you'll hear texts coming in on all of the bodies still in there. And you know that's family members saying, honey, where are you? Are you okay? And nobody can answer back. But it's right now, those family members, they just want that answer.
You know, Alex, it is an eerie scene you're painting. It does remind you of the Vegas shooting that you mentioned in Stephen Paddock about a year ago. I did read some details, or at least a few people that were in this bar were at the Vegas shooting as well. Have you had a chance to connect with any of those people and what their thinking is now? Because now they've been the scene of two horrific accidents in just over a year.
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to talk to them. I've heard the stories that they were at both locations. And you can imagine, you're at a country concert last year. You're shot at. You barely survive. You come to a country line dancing event here at this bar, and a gunman walks in. Just what they must go through. There were off-duty police officers in the crowd who shielded the victims. There were civilians who helped get people who were hurt and people who, you know, froze into hiding places. They went into a back room. They went in to bathrooms, into the attic. They overturned tables trying to create barriers. They did everything they could to survive. And whoever could run out, they ran out. That's where most of the injuries came from now, that those who were shot, most of them died. But there are about 20 who were injured, and many of those were broken bones and sprains, people trying to get out.
Alex, last one for you. I'm reading that there was a smoke device. Did he go in to try to create a diversion and more insanity, more chaos in there while smoke was going off?
Yeah, the belief is that he was throwing smoke bombs when he went in. We know he, according to the sheriff, he went in, he turned left and shot security guards and employees, turned right, rather, and shot security guards and employees right when he walked in. He took them out, and then he turned left and started shooting into the dance hall area where the event was going on. People were being served drinks. There was country line dancing underway, And that's when he began firing on those victims, and they began to be hit.
And he's a local, correct? He had to know the layout of the bar to know where the police or the security guards were to open or turn one way and go the other way. I assume that means he lives around there in Thousand Oaks?
Generally, he lives in the general area. Okay. I don't know if he's ever been to this bar. Police don't know yet. No doubt they will be looking at probably hundreds of hours of surveillance video and talking to people if they ever recognize this guy. But there's a very good chance that he may have done some reconnaissance. Who knows? But he did seem to know turn right, turn left, and it wouldn't be totally unimaginable if he had done some kind of reconnaissance.
Follow him on Twitter at A Stone ABC News. Alex, thank you so much. We'll talk with you. Be safe.
You got it. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Alex Stone from ABC News. Another one. It's been 11 days since Pittsburgh. Then we get this one. It does sound like this guy has, you know, a history of some mental problems, and I have no idea why he would go on country western night to this college bar and open up. I read it was 18 and up night. Whole bunch of kids, 18 to 25 mostly.
So we can, after we take a break here, we can go through more of what we know about the shooter and more of what we know about his interaction with police ahead of time. A lot of details coming out.
And also some incredible eyewitness reports speaking to people who were at the bar last night. It is unbelievable, the scene they describe. You're going to want to hear these witnesses. On a Thursday, unfortunately, we are talking about yet another mass shooting, this time out in Thousand Oaks, California, which was, as I mentioned before, ranked the third safest city in the United States. This is not a place where this kind of stuff happens. I mean, I don't know. Maybe every place now is where anything like this can and does happen. I don't know.
Well, usually the same city is not hit twice. So it seems to be that, you know, the first time it happens, you would think, well, it would never. I mean, we didn't think it would happen in an Orlando yeah. or an Aurora, Colorado, or, you know, a Sandy Hook Elementary either. And yet that's where those things happen.
Here we are. Last night, around 2 o'clock our time, something along those lines, a 28-year-old man walked into the Borderline Bar in Thousand Oaks, California, opened fire, 12 are dead, including a police officer who went in to do his job and wound up losing his life a year out from being on the force for 30 years and less than a year from retirement. And listening to Alex Stone paint the picture that the officer had just gotten off the phone with his wife saying, honey, I got to take a call or I have to go on a call. And this is the call he goes on. Here's the 911 call from last night.
Fired, one person advising in progress at the Borderline 99 Rolling Oaks Drive. If you're hearing gunshots, fired, one person advising there's a subject inside shooting. Approximately 8 shots. The weapon was a black semi-automatic. He does not have a description. The RP advised the subject was at the front shooting at everybody. He's still inside the bar. Yes, responding to the Borderline. We have one victim advised he was shot and is bleeding at the entrance.
Force down through. We got multiple people down. We need a lot of ambulances. Three, at least five down inside.
Yes, at the Borderline. We're landline with some witnesses and victims that are inside the bathroom. We have people, he's in the attic with 9 other people at the Borderline.
Hiding in the attic, hiding in the bathroom, hiding. And we're going to play some of the interviews that ABC 7 did with some witnesses, and their description is unbelievable.
Yeah, so let's just go ahead and play some of what we've got here, and then we can tell you a little bit more about the shooter and what we know about him. But the audio is pretty compelling from witnesses. So.
This is from ABC 7 and a witness by the name of Mark.
You heard the shots. You saw the suspect. Describe it.
Basically heard the shots. It was a tall, probably 6'2", 6'3", dark figure, all black with his hood on. And he basically was unloading. And all I did was grab as many people as I could and pull them underneath the table. And then until I heard the shots. Until I heard a break in the shots, and then we got people out of there as much as we could.
It sounds like you smashed a window out.
Yeah, we did.
Describe that.
Bar stools go through windows. It works.
I mean, I interviewed somebody who went through that window. You helped get them out, so you pulled a lot of people out, it sounds like.
That's all we could do. The only thing that I could have wished for is to have something better than a bar stool.
What did this guy look like?
Tall, built, bigger figure, maybe wearing a vest or something, possibly. All dark, blacked out.
And what was he armed with, could you see?
A smaller caliber handgun with a light or a laser attachment on the bottom, and that's all I could see.
Any idea how many shots were fired?
Probably 10 to 15 in the first round, and then after that we got out the window, and it wasn't until we were probably halfway down the parking lot till we heard shots again, and then another break, and then lots of shots, and I think at that point it was police and him back and forth.
And how long did that ordeal go on for?
By the time we got down, people down to the street, that was probably a minute and a half, 2 minutes maybe. And then we ran back in and we were just pulling stragglers who were still in the parking lot, calling people, and we were like, you need to get out of here right now.
How many people did you get through that window?
We probably pushed 30 or 35 people through that window.
Wow. And was this person shooting at you guys while you were doing this?
He was not shooting at us, not that I know of. No one around me was going down. He was focused more on that front area until he got done with that.
It sounds like you knew pretty quickly what was going on.
As soon as I heard the shots, I knew exactly what was going on. And that was
my there's confusion, it's crowded, there's music, but you figured it out pretty quickly. Why?
Instinct, I guess. That's all that I could do. But it was just, I'm here to protect my friends, my family, my fellow humans, and I know where I'm going if I die, so I was not worried to sacrifice. So all I wanted to do was get as many people out of there as possible.
We heard smoke bombs were popped around.
I heard that also, but by the time we were out of there, he hadn't thrown anything, and it hadn't gotten there yet.
Sir, we can see that you're hurt on your shirt.
Not mine. When we were going back to grab more people, someone was being pulled out with a chest wound, and the guys carrying him were tired, and so we took over and carried him to the paramedics. That's the only person that I actually came in contact with that had an injury from the attacker.
So you saw one wounded person?
One wounded person is what I personally saw, yeah.
Again, thanks to our friends at ABC7 for that. There's some more of those interviews that we want you to hear about some more witnesses, including a man who was there with his stepson and his tearful explanation of what did happen in Thousand Oaks, California yesterday. We're going to play that for you as well. Some others, some patrons that were at the bar that survived this shooting. We have 12 people dead, including a police officer. We'll have much more for you. It's Midday with Jamie and Wicked, and also more on the gunman.
Yeah, so we just know we're learning a lot more about him and coming up.
We are, everybody's just kind of getting settled here with the shooting that happened in Thousand Oaks, California bar, the borderline. The gunman is dead, also dead a police officer who ran in and was an absolute hero. Jamie, what do we know right now about the shooter?
So he had used a handgun that was found at the scene, a Glock 45 caliber handgun that was there. The weapon usually holds 10 rounds and one in the chamber, but he had used an extended magazine in that shooting. We don't know exactly how many shots were fired, and we don't know how many bullets that extended magazine held, so they haven't gotten to that math yet. He was a Marine Corps veteran who had been on active duty with the U.S. Marine Corps from August of 2008 until March of 2013. They had had quite a bit of, police had had quite a bit of experience with him. Nothing major, but just some other minor events, they said, including a traffic collision. He was the victim of a battery in 2015. In April, deputies were called to his house for a subject disturbing. And again, the thing we don't know is motive. We have no idea what prompted this, and he's dead, so we may not ever know that.
We're going to play you some more eyewitness audio here from our friends over at ABC7 in Los Angeles, including this is a dad who was there with his stepson. His name is Tim. And this guy was really, really shaken up. Again, he was there with his stepson when the shooting happened.
Are you okay? Are you okay to talk to us?
Yeah.
Okay. Where were you and what did you see?
I was right next to the entrance. We were getting ready to leave. We had some pool, and some smoke came in. He had rolled some smoke in, and he fired the first shot, and I knew it was live. I knew it was real. And my son thought it was a joke. So I pulled him down and got some behind cover and looked up, and he was moving to the right. He shot the front doorman, bouncer. Like, you know, just a young man. And then he shot the cashier. Just a young girl. And then he started moving to the right. He wasn't looking at us. And he went into the office where all the cash and stuff is. He didn't say anything at all. He just started shooting. And I should have stayed till he changed his clip. But I was worried about my boy. But I should have stayed. I apologize to anybody who got hurt or passed. I'm sorry.
It's fine. There's not much you could have done in a situation like that.
But they're all young. I'm 56. I lived a life. They're all young. And this shouldn't happen to them. And it was just some low life. Taking lives that shouldn't have been taken.
Could you tell what kind of weapon he was using?
He had a handgun. I could tell it was allowed, maybe a 44, maybe a little smaller, but it had a good ring to it. And it was just loud, and he had smoke. He was trying to confuse people. And then he went to the right and just started shooting on the dance floor. And there were just young people, like young, 18, 19, 20, just having a great time. And this maniac came in and started shooting people for no reason at all. These people have never hurt anybody in their lives. They're just kids. They're just kids. I'm so sorry.
So you two just got out of there as quick as you could. Could you tell how long the firing was going on?
It was constant until he changed clips. And then there was a pause. And he reloaded. And I'm sorry, I wasn't right there. And he kept it going. And then he reloaded. And then he kept on popping them off. And I waited for my son. He didn't follow me like I asked him to. And so I was running back to get him. And he came out. Thank you. And so I just got him out of there. She would have never forgiven me if he would have got hurt or tied. So I just got him and made sure he was okay. And then we just left, called 911. There was already an officer on the street really quick. But we had to get out of there, and I apologize for leaving.
You don't need to. Police got there within moments.
It still feels like I didn't do what I should have done.
You can't do anything when you're unarmed. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you guys are all right.
Thank you. Okay.
His name was Tim, and he was there with his stepson inside the bar. And to hear him, I mean, your heart breaks as he's a 56-year-old man, and he says, I should have done more. I should have done more. There's nothing else that guy could have done.
I wasn't there, so I don't know, but you do what you can in the moment. I've never been I have no clue what I would do in that situation. None. Mm-hmm. I've never been in that, never even close to that. I have no clue what I would do.
That man has no need to apologize. No need to apologize whatsoever for getting out of there with his stepson and getting to safety. I mean, if the opportunity is there and you seize it to try to help other people when some maniac like this guy is opening fire in a bar and you want to go ahead and take advantage of that opportunity and you can do it safely, sure. But what is it? Run, hide, fight? Those are the three? Those are the three steps those you're supposed three. To take? Mm-hmm. You run the first chance you can. And some of these other people that we're rescuing, bless them. Here's another guy that was talking to Channel 7 in Los Angeles.
I was to the front door. I was talking to my stepdad, and I just started hearing these big pops, pop, pop, pop. There was probably three or four. I hit the ground. I look up. The security guard's dead. I don't want to say dead, but he was shot. He was down. And the gunman was throwing smoke grenades all over the place. I saw him point to the back of the cash register. and he just kept firing. I ran out the front door. I hear chairs being thrown out the window. People were trying to get out the window. And the gunman went behind the cash register. There was probably 12 shots before I got out the front door. And I go out, I come back in to see if my stepdad's okay. I hear him yelling and I ran. But the gunman, he had a beard. He looked Middle Eastern or so. He was wearing a hat, black jacket. I think he had glasses on, like prescription glasses. He had a big handgun, and I mean, shots were just firing.
Are you okay?
The security guard was closest to the front door. The two people behind the cash register were closest to the front door. I was the next person closest to the front door. I thought it was a joke when the shots started firing. And I know people there. I hope everybody's okay. I don't know how I didn't get shot.
Do you come to this bar a lot?
Yeah, here and there. It's a local spot. There's one of maybe three. Yeah, I mean, quite a bit.
So there's some of the witnesses. They're on site late last night into early this morning as a gunman opened fire. And now 12 are dead, including the gunman and a police officer who went in to do his job.
President Trump has issued a proclamation ordering American flags ordered to half-staff in the U.S. and around the world, where the American flag is, as a mark of solemn respect for the victims of the terrible act of violence perpetrated in Thousand Oaks, California. I'll just read this, a little bit of this. As a mark of solemn respect for the victims of the terrible act of violence perpetrated in Thousand Oaks, California on November 7th by the authority vested in me as the President of the United States, he is ordering flags at half staff at the White House and upon all public buildings and grounds, military posts, naval stations, et cetera, until sunset on November 10th.
We'll have more on this as the details continue to come out. Just a terrible, terrible incident. Another one last night. We've gone 11 or 12 days since the last mass shooting in this country, and there was another one last night. This time, mostly young people inside the bar where a gunman opened fire, 12 dead, including the shooter and a police officer. It's Midday with Jamie and Wickett. You can read about the story on our Facebook page. You can read about it on Twitter as well at KMBZ Radio. We'll have more coming up next.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Aww.
Man, it doesn't show signs.
Look, Jamie's even here, and Travis still played Christmas music. Thanks, Travis.
I don't consider this to be a Christmas song, though.
Turn it back up, Travis.
I ran out of music.
It back up.
It's good night.
There you go.
How I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm.
Would you believe it? My tree is already up.
I do believe that, knowing you, for as long as I have. Yes.
But there is a reason that we're playing it, and it's not just to make Jamie and Travis's ears bleed. There is snow via the text line right down the road.
If you are getting snow today and you need to vent about that, feel free to text us about it at 22980. If it's annoying to you, feel free. If you follow Kansas Highway Patrol on Twitter, you'll find that they are starting to get accidents out in the western part of the state, which those of us that have been around a while know that's not unusual. It's just a different, Kansas, when you get west of Manhattan, is just a different, completely different environment. It baffles me. I don't get it, but they're already getting snow out that direction. There have been accidents near Salina. There are already slick spots out that direction. And so somebody just texted us and said they're seeing snow near Edgerton. If you're getting snow and you want me to tell the universe, feel free. If you just need to get it off your chest because you're annoyed that it's November 8th and it's snowing, I understand. Feel free to just text that away and we'll kind of keep track of where the snow is today. But we're supposed to get between an inch and a half, starting in the evening rush, if it hasn't already, and going through the course of the evening.
Yeah, so, buddy, bring it on.
I thought you hated snow. You like it to be 90 degrees. Why do you like snow?
I'm ready for Christmas. I think I've realized that once Christmas hits, then I'm done with snow. No, I love the summertime. I wish it was summer all year round here. But I do like the way snow looks. I love the feeling around the holidays of the snow. The thing is, sometimes once you get past like Christmas and New Year's, then all of January and all of February
just stinks.
It's like, all right,
it's just awful.
Let's get to spring.
Hey, look at this. 41 Action News just tweeted: winter weather advisory issued for the Kansas City Metro beginning at 5 p.m.
It's coming.
It doesn't take a lot for a winter weather advice. I mean, come on, listen. Light snow showers expected to move west to east this afternoon with possible accumulation later in the day. Well, that's nice.
Does it give an accumulation total?
No,
you said
1 to 1.5.
Yeah, you would think.
I don't know. Can you find it online anywhere?
Let me see.
We're saying, I feel like in the weather forecasts that that are played in front of my ears 75 times a day, but that I don't ever actually listen to.
Isn't that weird?
Said an inch to an inch, like an inch, inch or two. I don't think it's going to be. We're not getting blizzard, people. This is not. But the first mention of snow and people start to lose their minds. I think it's an inch and a half.
Yeah, today into tonight, up to 2 inches.
Yeah, up it won't happen. What's the temperature tonight? What's our low overnight?
Low tonight is 30.
And what's our high tomorrow?
36.
Yeah, it'll melt. Don't worry. It'll fall. It'll get a little slick. It'll melt.
Dude, tomorrow's low is 19.
That's fine.
19. It's here. It's way too early, but it's here. It's finally cold.
But it's not a blizzard, so it'll be okay. Now, I'm going to complain for a second about the fact that I'm driving to Wichita this weekend.
Oh, you picked a good one.
I didn't pick anything.
Why do you go to Wichita
for a family wedding?
Okay.
And so, and I don't mind the drive, and my little car can handle the snow and everything just fine. And I've lived in this part of the country my entire life, so I'm okay in the snow.
When do you leave?
Saturday morning.
You're fine.
I have to be at a lunch at noon on Saturday.
Mostly sunny Saturday, high of 40.
So, oh, yeah.
You're
so
fine.
This is going to be a temporary thing.
Yeah.
Anything, yes, to those that are joking about the milk and bread and eggs, yes, we're laughing along with you.
Have stores sold out because of the 2 inches of snow coming our way yet?
It's just, now, I'll be serious for a second. Don't be overconfident about it, though, when it comes to road conditions. Because we're laughing about it, but it will be just cold enough, and it doesn't take a lot to make the road slick. Don't be stupid either.
What?
Don't say, well, it's 2 inches, and
Jamie and Wicked
don't
said
right,
it was fine.
Don't blame us. It you know, we're not gonna, schools aren't gonna close because of this. Now watch, I say that.
Oh,
now watch.
Casey Mo schools right. Closing tomorrow.
But it's enough that, and it doesn't take a lot on the roads for roads to be slick to cause an accident. So don't be an idiot.
Text in at 22980. How long do you think it takes, Jamie, for people to get used to driving in the wintry conditions in Kansas City?
75 years. It just never happens. People, and I'll go ahead and complain about it because I grew up in northern Illinois, and you grew up, Michigan, where there's
Michigan
a lot
and
of
Wisconsin.
Snow.
When I was driving, it was Michigan and Wisconsin from 95 on.
And I grew up in the country, and so. We've had blizzards here because I can't remember when it was. I don't know, 2012, 2013. I'll never forget because I was working from home at the time where we had a blizzard on like a Tuesday and got 12 inches of snow. And then 5 days later, we got another 10. So we can get, although it hasn't happened in a while, we can get snow here. But yes, I'm that snobby person that grew up driving in feet of snow and thinks that people here don't know how to drive in snow. And you probably feel that way also because
yep.
You grew up with snow.
Yeah, I mean, as a kid, I lived in San Diego, but from high school on, I lived in the Midwest. So, yeah, growing up, going to school, riding the bus, getting my license, becoming an adult, driving in snow. But driving in snow where if it snowed four different times during the week, like if it snowed Sunday and then Tuesday and Wednesday and then Saturday, it was like, that's what happens. You add 10 minutes to your drive, you slow down. Here,
people forget.
I don't know how long, because it's like when it hits that first snow, like tonight, man, it's like it's never snowed in Missouri or Kansas before for some people. And I don't know why.
But on the seventh snow of the year, people will still be driving like they forgot they've driven on snow before. So I don't have a ton of confidence.
I mean, I get it if you're like Travis and you moved here.
From
Texas and you never ever see snow. Or you move from Louisiana and you never see snow. Travis, how long did it take you to get used to driving in snow?
Has it happened?
Like
2 years ago.
Okay, so a couple, it took you a little while.
Like, okay, so let me ask you this. 10 years. What did you have to learn? What do you know now about driving in snow that you didn't know before? Because we need to remind people of some basics.
I mean, don't slam on your brakes, because slamming on your brakes is just like being in the rain. Your back tires, depending right. What wheel you're in, will spin. In my stake, I feel like you don't need to feel like you have the urge to speed all the time, which a lot of people do, and then you see a lot of wrecks. If you see a wreck, stop looking to your right or left to see the wreck.
Gawker, you slow down, yeah.
You slow, and usually that's around a turn, and then you just keep going. You slide into somebody else.
Mm-hmm. And maybe I could be wrong on this, but are you supposed to kind of like tap your brakes to slow down in snow, or is that just rain?
No, you're supposed to. The same thing. I mean, that's why a lot of brakes are anti-lock. They, you know, you press them and they did, so you don't lock them up and slide.
So that's, I think that's why, not that I, you know, moving here, not that I was slamming on my brakes and sliding everywhere, but I was more of being so timid that I was the one going 5 miles per hour when really the roads are all so clean that you can go your normal speed.
And by the way, somebody's going slow in the snow, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's totally fine. It's better than the guy, like the dude going by me right here in this big, giant 4-door truck with 4-wheel drive, who, just because you're bigger than I am in my sedan, you blow by me at 14 miles faster than I am in the left lane. You can slow down too, buddy.
It's USUV drivers that are the biggest offenders.
Travis.
Because you get overconfident. You feel like because you're big and heavier and higher up that you can take on the universe. I guarantee you, me and my itty-bitty little Chevy Cobalt, I'm better at it.
And she's probably right. Since driving like box trucks, I have more respect on the road for all weather, because that's where you're like most dangerous. You're the one who can cause the biggest wreck, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you're overcompensating. No, sorry, that's totally different.
So, and yes, a lot of you are joking about Kansas City drivers don't know how to drive in the rain either. I agree with you. I think if it's not sunny, people don't know what they're doing. But just slow down. Here's the biggest advice. I'm not an expert, but the biggest advice we're going to jointly give here, I think, is don't underestimate slick roads. Don't, you know, I mean, yeah, we're laughing, but realize that it doesn't take a lot of slick road for you to run off the road.
No.
So plenty of braking distance. Don't be in a hurry. You know, give people plenty of room, slow down, but just don't underestimate that it doesn't take a lot. Just like it doesn't take a lot of water to drive through to stall your car, it really doesn't take a lot of iciness to make you run off the road.
Also, I think the most common thing that people don't realize that they don't do, make sure all this, like, ice at least is off your windshields and your windows.
Oh,
because
no.
Think about if you still have ice on your windows, how much snow, I mean, how much sun can hit that, and you can't see jack crap. I was T-boned. Being in a car like that.
Well, I thought you were supposed to, when there's 2 inches of snow covering, just get enough off of the windshield so I can see through, and then don't worry, the wind will take care of the rest of the snow, right?
No, that doesn't happen.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
And if you don't have an ice scraper for your car, a CD case works just fine.
I got two. Do you need an extra one?
I don't have one right now.
I'll give you one.
Do you remember? I don't remember this last year, but last year there was a woman outside my building that didn't have a scraper and clearly was new in town and must have moved her from Hawaii or something and didn't have any idea. So I gave her mine, and I never replaced it. Because you never think about your ice scraper until the first snow of the season.
I'll give you one before we leave here today.
Is it the little cane? Because
we have
little cane. Oh, a big one?
It's a big one. Yeah.
So that I don't have to use come on, I have two CD cases that are duct taped together. It works just fine.
You don't have to use your credit card.
Right.
I will give you, and I have multiple, like moving made me consolidate all of the ice scrapers. So I actually put one in Lee's car. I put one in my trunk. I have two in my trunk. I will give you one.
Well, how about that?
It's a Milwaukee Bucks ice scraper. How about
that? You know, Kansas could be like Texas and just shut down the whole city when half an inch of ice goes down.
Man, Dallas has no idea. Most of Texas has no idea what to do when weather turns nasty.
No, besides the panhandle, we don't know jack crap.
It's 10:50.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.